Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
You know, we're all wired to worship and to live and express faith in someone or something. Which faith is true? There's a lot of belief systems out there. And next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study which faith you can count on. Stay with us. That's next on Daily in the Word. You know, there sure are a lot of belief systems out there and a lot of people that claim to have the corner on truth. But the fact is, there's one set of truth that you can count on. There's one God and one word that He's given to us. Amongst all the faiths, there's one that rises above all of them. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to answer the question, which faith? Welcome to this program, Daily in the Word, that features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and it's our joy to open God's Word with you. And today we're going to answer the question, which faith? By the way, don't forget you can find out more about this ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to the Daily in the Word devotional and the podcast and listen to this program at your convenience on your phone or iPod or computer. All of that and much, much more is found at dailyintheword.org. But today, let's turn to Acts chapter 17, verses 18 through 34 as we study Jesus or self. Here's Paul Chappell.
He said, Timothy, look, hold on to that truth that you have received. Hold on to those inspired scriptures that your mother and your grandmother taught you. And be careful of that science so-called that will cause you to err from your faith, you see. Now, these men had so many different belief systems there in Athens that, as we said a moment ago, they even had an altar to the unknown God. Notice that there in verse 23. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. It was like, just in case we missed one, we better have one for the unknown God. Talk about superstition. They were very, very superstitious. And yet Paul says, I want you to know, I'm here to declare to you today the truth about the God that you don't know. I want you to know His name. His name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in John 17 and verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. And so to a culture that was self-reliant, the apostle confronts them and says, wait a minute, your philosophies are philosophies that are going to fall short in the day to come. And he stands there, secondly, and gives to them the revelation of God. He says, let me tell you about the God that you do not know. And notice, if you will, not only the reliance of men, but as we move, secondly, to the revelation of God, verse 24, what the apostle says in Athens. He says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Now, these men were surrounded, no doubt, by temples. They had temples to all different kinds of deities. They were worshipers of the creation rather than the Creator. They worshiped the sun, the moon, the stars. They worshiped all these things, but they did not worship a Creator God. And in their paganism and in their immorality, they had turned away from the truth of God. Now notice, if you will, God is revealed to them, first of all, as Creator. And in verse 24, the Apostle Paul speaks to them about God who made the worlds. Now, in a few weeks, we will look more at God's creative power as we analyze so-called theories of the theory of evolution in the light of Scripture. But let's take a moment here and see God revealed as the Creator. The Bible says God made all things. Genesis 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created." And the word created means to bring into being. In other words, he didn't have some raw material to work with at first, but God is the one who brought it all into being. And we see that he is revealed as the Creator. Colossians 1 and verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." That is, he holds all things together. The universe is a phenomenon or an effect which connotes an adequate cause. No effect can be produced without a cause. We eventually must come to an uncaused cause. Therefore, God must exist and is the first cause of all things. And by the way, even an evolutionist would admit that he believes in something eternal. In his case, it may be matter or it may be energy, but there had to be some eternal force that would bring this world into existence. And we unashamedly declare that it was God who brought the world into existence. Even Einstein believed that there was some superior spirit that had all power. And on we can go in the Scriptures to see that God is declared and he is revealed as a creator God. Lee Strobel, in his book, The Case for Faith, quoted Dr. Walter Bradley concerning the probability of even one simple protein molecule forming on its own. He said the probability of a molecule forming on its own has one chance in 10 with 60 zeros past the 10. Now, some of you mathematicians tell me what that is after church, but I'll tell you this. It's a pretty minor probability that a molecule would create itself. In fact, Sir Frederick Hoyle, a famous British astronomer, said, "The likelihood of that happening, the odds of that are the same as a tornado sweeping through a junkyard and assembling a fully functional 747. The odds of a molecule creating itself. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 19 in verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." God is revealed to us as creator, and the creation reveals to us the power of God. But notice, secondly, he is revealed as Lord. He is revealed as Lord. Verse 24, again, the Bible speaks of this, "That God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." He is Lord over creation. Job said in Job 12 and verse 10, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." And he, by the way, is Lord to all who will seek him. Oh, my friend, the Bible says here in verse 26, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." Oh, my friend, I'm glad that when you seek him, he may be found. And God said, "I created the world, and I set order in the world and seasons in the world, that by observing the orderliness of this world, you might seek me." And so he is revealed as creator, and he is revealed as the Lord of this world. I know some would say, "Well, why do some bad things happen in this world?" And we're going to look at that during this series, Which Faith? But I've got to tell you, my friend, the bad things happening in this world are not because of an unloving God, but mostly due to the sinful nature of men who rebel against him. And I want you to know that he is revealed in the Scriptures as the Creator and as the Lord. And he is revealed, thirdly, in this passage as the coming judge. Now, we don't like to talk about that, but I want you to see what the Bible says in verse 28. The Bible says, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as soon also of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring," meaning we were created in his image. "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, it is within the context of the Athenian culture to see that they were not worshiping the Creator, but they had created temples to the gods of the earth, the sun, the moon, and they had created within these temples symbols of various forms of nature, birds and animals of all kind. And they were giving their worship to these, and they were giving their worship to the philosophies of men. And as the Apostle Paul observed all of this, in one sweeping statement under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he says in verse 30, the times of this ignorance God winked at. Paul is, in essence, says here, all of this activity that you call worship, he says it is ignorant worship. You're not worshiping the Creator. You are worshiping the creation. And he says the times of your ignorance, God has winked at. But now he said, God is calling men everywhere to repent. That is, he is calling men to turn from their ignorant ways, to turn from their willful following of all of these false religions, and to turn back to the Creator God and His revealed Son. Now, the description of Athens is fitting of our day. Why, we are living in a country that was founded with many Christian principles and a constitution that affords the worship that we experience even this morning. And as we look back on much of our Christian history in America, we're thankful for it. But wait a minute. As we see the culture today, we see a nation turning to Eastern mysticism and New Age philosophy. We see a nation that has some Christian fiber in our history now turning from that. And rather than worshiping God, we see many today who are worshiping the creation, who are involved in self-realization, worshiping self, who have turned to false science, so-called Scientology, and they are turning to anything and everything that has Jesus Christ on the bottom shelf or not there at all. And so Paul said, you know, God has winked at this, but now he is calling this culture to repent, to turn away from this. You see, there are many today who, like the ancient Romans and like those at Athens, are willing to let Jesus or God be a part of the mix. I mean, there were even places called the Pantheons. These were the God houses of the Romans where anybody could put a statue of their God in there. You could go in and worship all of the gods. But wait a minute, we're not talking about a statue. We're not talking about the creation. We're not talking about a prophet. We are talking this morning about the Creator God who died and rose again. We're not here to put him on one of the shelves with the other gods. He's to be lifted high above all others. You see, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. And one day the Lord Jesus will bring judgment down to a world that has turned against him, and he will receive those that have received him. Matthew 25 and verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, verse 41, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You've heard the stories. You've heard the scriptures. There will be some that will say, Jesus, we had religion. Jesus, we cast out devils in your name. We did this, we did that. And he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. You see, my friend, having religion or a religious philosophy is not the same as receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible speaks of this in John chapter 5 and verse 22. It says this, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto his Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Listen, God does not want one single person to go to hell. He does not want one single person to be cast away in an everlasting way. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that is why he sent the Apostle Paul. And that is why the gospel is being preached around the world to ignorant men. And that is why the gospel message is a message of repentance, calling men to turn from their ignorance and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a great day it is when someone says, you know what? These perilous, empty pursuits filled with vanity and philosophy are not what I need. I need to turn to the Creator God and trust His Son as my Savior. You see, the reliance of men is always on self, but the revelation of God is that He is the Creator, He is Lord, and He will one day be the judge. Now, having said that, come with me, if you would, to this final thought this morning, the redemption of faith. What happens to an ignorant world that will hear and receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible says we can be redeemed by Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, in verse 32, what the Bible says. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. And among them was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius. Now I want you to capture this, if you would. Paul has now preached his message on Mars Hill. We have reviewed it briefly this morning. I will be done preaching this message in about 3 minutes. When I'm done preaching this message, there will be some type of a response in everyone's heart. When Paul was done with his message, there were several kinds of responses in the hearts of the listeners. I want you to see the response that was given to the message of the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection was at the core of his message. How did people respond to that message? How did those in the culture of Athens respond to what had been said? Notice letter A, there were the rejectors. There were those, the Bible says in verse number 32, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, they mocked. They said, baloney. They said, this is not true. The pagan culture and philosophy that they had bought into caused them to mock the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By the way, if you are going to be a Christian that is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, listen, not everyone's going to be real happy about that. And it goes all the way back to the gospel, all the way back to Luke 26, 36. The Bible says, and the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And I remind you this morning, if you will be a Christian in an increasingly paganized society, there will be those who will mock you for your faith. But notice not only the rejectors, notice if you would, secondly, the ruminators. You see, the preaching of the cross to those that perish is foolishness, and there are those who will reject. But the second category I call the ruminators, meaning those who ponder, those who ruminate over what they have heard, those who don't want to make a decision right now. Notice what it says there in the text, verse 32 again. Some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. Now, why they ruminated instead of trusting the Lord, I do not know. Perhaps they wanted to let it soak in. Perhaps they were afraid of what their friends might say. Perhaps they had other issues. They were not ready to have a change in their life. Many people respond to the gospel this way. Felix, the Roman governor in Caesarea, upon hearing the gospel from the Apostle Paul, said there in our notes this morning, he said, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He said, I'm not ready right now, Paul, but when I'm ready, I will call you. King Agrippa said, almost thou hast persuaded me. And there are many who come to a place of hearing the truth and then they can't quite make themselves receive the truth. Maybe they are just born procrastinators. I heard about a young man that was driving his father's harvest and he was out on the farmlands and he turned the truck around the corner and I'm telling you what, the largest mound of corn dumped right out of that truck and right onto that road. Well, the neighbor came by and said to the boy, he said, hey, Willie, he said, that's a real mess. You're going to have to clean it up, but why don't you just take a break, come on in here, have supper with us, and then we'll clean it up afterwards. The boy said, oh, Pa wouldn't want me to do that. The farmer said, oh, come on in, son. He said, Pa wouldn't want me to do it. They said, come on in. He said, all right. He went in. Boy, they had a great meal. They had iced tea. They talked about a bunch of things. They had a great time together. And after a while, he said, well, I feel better now, but Pa isn't going to be real happy. He's going to be upset. And the farmer said, oh, Willie, don't be foolish. He said, by the way, where is your Pa? He said, under the corn in the middle of the road. Now, folks, there are some things you just don't want to put off. Someone says, well, you know, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ right after I go to Hometown Buffet. Or right after I take care of some other things. But the Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. You see. Some flat out rejected. Some wanted to reason it for a while. But notice thirdly, the redeemed. Some received the message. And the Bible says there in verse 34, some men clave unto him and believed. I mean, the word clave means they were glued to this message. They could not get away from the power of the death, the burial, the resurrection of the very Son of God, the Creator of the world. It gripped their soul, and deep within them, they knew the answer was not in Epicureanism. They knew the answer was not in pantheism. They knew worshiping the Son was not the answer, and they knew that self-realization would only lead them to greater depression, because all that is within ourselves is a sinful nature, but that when Jesus Christ comes into our life, His Spirit indwells us, and we are born again, truly changed from the inside out. And they clave unto this man, and they believed on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were saved. They were redeemed. Not by what they did, but by believing on what Jesus Christ had done. Look at that verse in your notes, 1 Peter 1:18. For as much then as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hey, they weren't saved because they really prayed to the temple of Diana or the temple of Zeus or Hermes. They were not saved because they trusted in all of the silver and gold of their vain tradition. No, they were saved when they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was their decision. The Bible says He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now notice verse 30 and we're done. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Friend, which faith will you follow? The faith systems of this world, including secularism and atheism, or the faith once delivered unto the saints, the death, burial, and resurrection. And my friend, don't put your trust in the vain tradition of men, but rather in the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The songwriter said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And when someone even today says, Lord, I trust you as my Savior, the Bible says at that moment, the redeeming, forgiving blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your account, and your sins are wiped away as far as the east is from the west, and you are redeemed. Yes, there are many in our world and many in the Antelope Valley who are rejectors. There are some who are ruminators, trying to see which way to go. But I pray this morning there would be those who would receive Christ and be redeemed. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to study from your word this great question. Jesus or self, which faith will I follow? And Father, may we put our faith in Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. We're currently studying a series entitled Which Faith? We're studying the differences between the humanistic, globalistic philosophies of our day and the truth of the Word of God. And friend, of course, the most important truth of this series and the question we're wrestling with is, who do you place your faith in? Have you placed your personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to be your personal Savior? That's the greatest question you could ever consider. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcast. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that number is 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.